the Pizmon for Yom Sheni is Slicha Zayin, which is a well-known Slicha because it's the Niggun is very nice. Yisrael Noishaba Hashem Shua Seilam. Want to do a little Niggun here? It's known, right? Yisrael Noishaba Hashem Shua Seilam, right? So, in order to understand this just very briefly, I think it's to put a face on it. And it just, we need to understand a little bit of the history and the context of what was going on. So if you look carefully, Rabbi, can you just talk outside?
Which says Slicha
Zayin. If you look from the shin down, you'll see shin, pei, tes, yud, hey, Shvatia. So Shvatia was a famous Mekubal, Shvatia ben Amitai. His son was Amitai ben Shvatia. The original Shvatia was the son of David HaMelech. But there was a tkufa of a lot of, like, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Shvatia ben Amitai, Amitai ben Shvatia. They were big Mekubalim and big Paitonim. They're very big in the world of Piyut. And he wrote this, and the story behind it, if you will, is a very important story. And that is that this Shvatia and Amitai went to the head of the, this was during the Byzantine era, so this is what you're talking about, like the 9th century. So let me just back up on the history a little before we get to Shvatia, just so everyone understands Byzantines. After the Roman Empire, as we know it, started coming to an end. That's when Chazal talked a lot about the Roman Empire. That was in the 2nd century, 3rd century, Rabbi Yudan Nasi. They had something called the Crisis of the 3rd century, which was when the Roman Empire became divided and then moved. It became a lot of different machlokas and wars between them. And here we're talking all the way up to the... Then it turned to become the Byzantine Empire. And that Byzantine Empire was the victory, an old victory of Alexander Mukhtar, which came forward so many centuries later with the Macedonians, or Alexander Mukhtar. So they were at that time trying to take over the world, and they're trying to take over particularly Macedonia. You know where that is? That's like right on top of Greece, Bulgaria, Spain, Italy.
Fertile Crescent.
No. It's not exactly the Fertile Crescent. It's the Macedonian Empire was, the Fertile Crescent was a little bit different. This starts from Bulgaria and works down to the top of Italy. Fertile Crescent is a little bit different. But in any case, that's what that was. Now, here's an interesting thing, just historically, before we talk about the period over here, is that era was a lot of wars between the Macedonians, of course, which were sort of like Romans with a Greek attitude, and the Muslims, Islam, and the Arab countries. That's the wars that were going on at that time, and the Arabs were trying to create a caliphate and take over Europe at that time, and the Macedonians were fighting against that, and they wanted it to be. It had nothing to do with the Jews, except for the Jews got it like always, you know, the Jews like end up in the middle of the story, how they end up in the middle of the story, because the big machlokas, It's like Amish, like Biyamenu. The big machlokas I'm taking all of history and I'm putting it into a sentence. But the big machlokas between the Muslims and the Macedonians were whether there should be a use, whether there should be a place for icons, psalim, in the world and the religion. The Arabs, of course, were very against any type of, they were iconoclastic, right? They were against icons, and the Macedonians were already Christians, so they were all for Yashka and Mary and all of these things. So that was like the religious principle, which their machloikas and their wars, and thousands of people were killed because of this. And of course, the Jews were left here in the middle because they had to. Jews always had to, all throughout history, from at least that part of history, had to make a decision: are we going to go with the Muslims, or are we going to go with the Jews? Who are we going to fight? And who are going to be, this went so far as even way later, Napoleon and Turkey, like the Ottoman Empire. Like this was always the Jewish choice. the Jews decided to go with the Muslims. As a matter of fact, we were so supportive.
They weren't Muslims at that time.
They were, yeah.
It's 100 years after Muhammad.
Yeah, 100 years after Muhammad. Yeah, they were Muslim. But they were strong Muslims, yeah. In the 12th century, it was already...
That's interesting.
Yeah. So what was happening, this is all the prelude to the 12th century pogroms of the Christians and the 12th century Muslim, caliphates that they were trying to create. In any case, the Jews had to decide. So they went, they made a decision to go with the Muslims because we're anti-Avodah Zarah, right? So we're not quite like ISIS where we're going and destroying every single thing that's made out of stone. But that's what that is. What they're doing is what Muhammad said to do before, and the Jews were able to relate to that more than they were able to relate to Christianity. What happened was that at that time was Basil I, that was he was the first of the Byzantine era, so he made Xeris on all the Jews that they must accept his domain and his dominion, and they must have statues. And he gave out, if you look at the history books, he gave out huge prasim to anybody who would have like just a little, a little statue on your lawn. Big deal, nice. It was like a little, like a little, what do they call it, the Christians, the thing on the lawn?
Mary.
Hmm?
The nativity
scene, right. A little, nice. So like they would give out presents. So the Gedolim, of course, were saying like, no, ad kedemisa, like, you're not allowed to have some of it. There was all kinds of, a lot of, many Jews went for it because of Shitov, it's not of a dessert, blah, blah, blah. They made all kinds of heterim for themselves to get the prasim and not to get killed. Anyways, at that time, there was a gzera on the Shathakya city in Italy, and he himself went, as an interesting story, he himself went to this Basil I and to fight for the Jews of Italy. And he lost the fight. They said, no, the Xeris are going to stay. But he saw like a Chachma or a Kedusha in this Mekubal. So he told them before he left, he says, just while you're here, I have a daughter who's like, seems to be possessed with some kind of a dibuk. Maybe you know how to remove it. So he did. He removed the dibuk, couple of bucks, remove the dibuk, and because of that, his city was saved. So that's the context of this slicha that he wrote, Yisrael Noisha Ba'Hashem, Shuas Olamim, and it was like a slicha and also like a word of protest against that. Like our emuna is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our emuna is not in is that we're not worrying about this government, that government, and it's very sort of like one more. Important historical point from a Torah point of view, and that is that there's everybody knows that there's Arba Malchios. So the Arba Malchios is already Toyu V'Voyu, the first pasuk in Bereishis, and it comes up over and over again in the Chumash Rambam to the Arba Malchios. So what are the Arba Malchios? These are the four that are going from the time of the Bais Rishon until the Moshe Mashiach, the four empires that are going to dominate the world, and then there will be Mashiach. Dominating the world means crushing, in some form or another, Klal Yisrael. So everybody knows the first one is Bavel. That was the first one. The second one is Paras. And the third one is Yavon. And the fourth one is? I say there are two different answers. Interesting, right? So Edom, right? And you say? Why is Yishmael? Because of Matthias, right?
Right.
So interesting. So it's a big machlekes. Actually, machlekes rishayim. So the Ramban says that the Ramban says very clearly in Bereishis that the fourth malchus is Edom, and b'chein ra'inu b'yameinu. He says there's no question about it as to what Chazal were speaking about. They're definitely speaking about the Noitzrim. He calls them the Noitzrim, and that's what the Ramban says. Others, like the Rambam in Igeres Taimon, says clearly that that it was a double. What you have is a machlekes like this. Some say that the fourth malchus is Yishmael. Some say Rishayim. Some say the fourth malchus is Esav b'nei Esav. Some say that it's both. So I'll show you something, a very yesodistic thing. Rashi in Zechariah Rashi and Zechariah, the pasuk is not even important here. The important thing is Rashi. Rashi says, "Hamalchias halalu shenishtabdu biYisrael." All the four malchias kfulais hayu. They were all doubles. Bavel v'kasti, Madai uParas, Yavan uMikdad, Edom v'Yishmael. So there's always it's four, but it's really eight, says Rashi. Valkacha Yosad Hakaliri, and he quotes on this Eliezer Hakalir, he reveals Hishminis, that he says, the Kalir says in one of his piyutim, he says that the Revius is really the Shminis, and he's talking about the Shminis, he's talking about Edom. This is, way out of the scope of this conversation, but it's a fantastic subject. I mean, we could talk about this for hours. It's something that I think about a lot, but you know, when you sing Moos Tzur, so that's, remind me, we'll talk about Moos Tzur and all the different Malchias and the Shibunim of Klal Yisrael. But Rashi clearly here is holding, he brings the other sheets, and this is like narrowly, he's clearly holding that it was both. Not like the Rambam, more like the Rambam. The Rambam also says that it's both. You have the, he calls it the Gomel and the Chamor. The Chamor is the Christians, Ani Arech V'Ala Chamor, and the Gomel is the Arab. Which is led by the Isha Meshuga, as he famously says, talking about Muhammad. So I better be careful here. but you think they listen to why you tour?
I don't think they could pay you more.
Gotta be careful. But in any case, so it's a very interesting thing. This Shefatia, this is why am I telling you this whole story? Because, if you'll, we'll go through it quickly, but if you just skip towards, here he says, Yivashu, you see where he starts, Yivashu? Yivashu Lane called, the theme here is Yisrael Noisha Ba'ashem, Shua Selamim. He writes later on in one of the Piyutim, one of the Slichas, he writes that it's all about Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that we have to be Echad, and we can't be Moida, not to the Muslims, and not to the Christians. We have to go only with Achdus Hashem the way we understand it. But he says, Yivashu Lein Kol Val Yimshulu Vam Rishayim. Save us, and Val Yimshulu Vam Rishayim. Kalei, destroy, listen to this, Seir V'choismoy. Esav and Hishver. Who was Hishver? Yishmael. Because Vayikach Esav as Machalas, right? Machalas. Bas Yishmael. V'yalu l'tzion Moshiim, and here he's meramish to the next pasuk, which talks about this, which is the pasuk in Amos. V'alu Moshiim bar tzion lishpaitas haresav v'haisav l'Hashem amlucha. And there Rashi also has a whole beautiful historical history lesson about how at the end of days it's going to be Yishmael and Esav as a combination that's going to happen. So that's what all of this is talking about. Yisharecha him doifkim kaniyim v'dalim. Klal Yisrael is coming to you, Hashem, like aniyim and like dalim. Meaning he was in a place that they were getting killed, they were being persecuted. And every slicha has a face. It's so important, like the Ruach HaKodesh of the Gedolim that chose these slichas to say now, because they're so nogeya today. I mean, this is really the West. Who exactly are our friends? You know, it's like a... Again, I want to say this again, an important piece of history that the Jewish people usually sided with Muslims. An irony of history. As much as they hate us, we were usually took their side because it was less Avodah Zarah than the Christians. And that's why there was the Spanish Inquisition. The Spanish Inquisition was, what did they have? The main thing they had with Jews is that we took the side of the Muslims. That was the big thing. Like, we were against having the Avodah Zarah. Anyway, she says, Sharecha heim doifkim kaniyim v'dalim. We're coming to the Shar Hashem. Tzikoin lachsham kshoiv kosh shoichen ma'ulim. What we're asking you to do, Hashem, is to listen to our whispers. Listen to our silent prayers. We were in a situation at that time where if we wanted to daven the way we davened, it had to be completely balachash. There was no way that we were davening out loud. So what he's saying is that there's a huge koach in the world, a koach of Esav and a koach of Yishmael, in the world. And this is what he clearly holds as you go through all of his Yudim, that this was the final Golos was the Golos of Esav and Yishmael. And what are we? We're Balachash. Skoin lachsam shoy koshoy chen mu'ulim. If you look, Chudim hei mikol tzaris mi machrafeihem u'mi loichatseihem. If you look at the Lashon of Cherpa, it applies throughout Tanakh to talk about Yishmael. When you talk about lachatz, it was always the lachatz of the Christians. So this little double thing goes on throughout the whole Slicha and throughout all of the Slichos that he and the Shvatya ben Amitai wrote, and that Amitai ben Shvatya wrote, and the things that we need to, apply quickly while we're saying Slichos at 6:20 in the morning, to everything that's going on, Biyamim Ha'elab is Man Hazeb, because this is really where we are right now. We're with the Arabs Mitzad Echa, the Christians Mitzad Sheni, trying to figure out who's our friends. The answer is probably none of them are our friends. Yesh v'yesh, but I'm saying there's Milos here and there's Milos there, and we're Balachash, we're Balachash trying to get our message across HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're asking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael Noisha Ba'Hashem. Our Yeshua comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not by choosing this or not by choosing that. Shua Salamin. And that'll work forever, meaning what's forever? Forever is throughout all of the period from Bavel through Paras, through Yavan. It always worked from Megillas Esther all the way till today of Yisrael Noisha Ba'Hashem. It's a Shua Salamin. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to be forever, and that'll work.